Amen. I don't know about you, but I love coming to church. I love it. I really do. I love being in church. I used to not, you know, enjoy it before I really grew in my relationship with Jesus. I used to skip church and try when my parents would be in the service. I'd sneak out and go through Sunday school classrooms and search for candy. I didn't like being in the service. And then as I grew in my relationship with Christ, God changed me so much to where it's like, now I'm a preacher, obviously, but you can't keep me from church. I love coming to church. What I love about church also is how when you come to church, you see things in church you will never see anywhere else that you may go. I know you're thinking I'm setting up for a joke here. I'm really not. I love how this happened one day when I left church. I was leaving, and there was a guy that I know his testimony. I know he used to steal cars before he became a Christian. And there was a single mom in our church that had locked her keys in the car, was holding on to a baby. And this guy who was, almost an ex-con, had stolen many cars, was now using his talents and his gifts to help this young mother get back into her vehicle. That's the church, man. That is fun. Amen? All right. Yeah. That's fun. It's good. I also love, there's a church that I know of in Kentucky, a small country church, where this little boy who would just walk around all the time, these nice church folk invited him into their church. And he came from a family where mom and dad didn't go, and he went to church, and just so happened the next week was VBS. And his name was Shane. They said, Shane, we want you to come to VBS. We'll bring you every day if you'll come. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll come. I'll be there. And so they brought Shane to VBS. Sure enough, Shane heard about a love that he had never heard of in his life. He heard about a God that loved him so much that he came to the earth and died on a cross for his sins. And Shane gave his heart to Jesus Christ right there at VBS. And he started to plug into that church. And as he plugged into that church, there were people and various gifts within that small country church that began to work together to help him grow in his faith and disciple Shane. There were people with the gift of mercy that saw his condition and helped him. There were people with the gift of giving that realized that Shane, as he grew up and grew in his faith, God had called Shane into the ministry when he was in high school in that little church. And so he wanted to go to Campbellsville University, and there were people within that little country church that said, Shane, we are going to pay for every dollar of your education. You go and you get that education, and we have got you covered. And so he went off, and he went to Bible college or a Baptist college, and graduated from that and felt, of course, the call to go into seminary. And still that country church said, Shane, we're going to pay for every dollar. You go on to seminary, you do what God's calling you to do, we're going to support you. Today, Shane Garrison is a professor at Campbellsville College there in it's a Baptist college in Kentucky. He is a professor, and he is used by Lifeway. He's a friend of mine. He goes all across the nation and encourages churches to get involved more in VBS. And he's a beautiful testimony to the beauty of a church where some kid walking the road is now a professor in one of our Baptist institutions because of the love of a church. That's the church. And I love the church. I love seeing how God shows his love to people through his church. I love how God's given various gifts to every one of us in this room. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have Christ in your heart. You have Christ, you've known him, and he has saved you. You have a gift where you're to come and to share the gift he's given you in your local body, in the church, the local congregation. And I love seeing when people come into the church and they start sharing the gifts that God's blessed them with, and they start building up that body of believers. There's nothing like the beauty of God showing his love to the world through a local church. We all know, though, that churches can be messy. We all know, and I know this well, churches are full of sinners just like me. And being a pastor long enough, I know that I've been scarred and have scars and have met many people that have been scarred by churches. There are many people that won't attend church today because they've been burned over by a church. There are many people that won't even attend today because someone hurt their feelings in church. And so this morning, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to look at what God's Word has to say about being a part of the church. I'd like for us to look further into, I've been preaching a series here on really these pillars of church health. And today is church membership. Church membership. Pillars of church health. Today we're going to look at being a member of your local church. As you look in your Bible, if you open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, let me set the context here for what's going on in Corinth. Paul wrote this letter. This is one of his earliest letters that he wrote. His earliest was the book of Galatians. We think this is probably the second earliest letter of Paul's that we have. As Paul wrote this letter to the church of Corinth, Corinth was in great turmoil and great disunity. It was a mess. It was the kind of church where you walked in and you saw not just two groups that didn't speak to each other, but four groups. And Paul addresses it early on in the book. He said, there are some of you that say, I follow Paul. And others say, I follow Apollos. And some are even saying, I follow Jesus, but you're all divided. Is Christ divided? Why are you so divided? And he begins to work through this letter, and really this letter is one of Paul's harshest letters to a congregation, where he chews them out for their disunity. He just says, you have got to get along. You've got to be unified. You're the ones that bear the gospel message for a lost world. And if you can't get along, how can anyone in this lost world ever hear of the gospel? And so he works through this letter and shows them where they had lost in their love for each other. There was something happening in that church where they were desiring these spiritual gifts, the gifts that were more visible, the gifts that were more outspoken, like the leaders and the pastor, the speaking gifts. Especially as you read the letter, they were very obsessed with the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, I interpret speaking in tongues to be to speak another language for the sake of the gospel. I know there's great division over this issue. That's a whole nother sermon, if not a whole nother sermon series. I'm just giving you the short of it. As I've studied God's word, I believe speaking in tongues, according to what Paul says in Corinthians, it's a sign for unbelievers. And when you see it in Acts 2, it was used for the sake of evangelism. And so there were those in the church that were desiring that, because what a cool gift. I mean, how cool would it be if you don't know the language to just be able to speak the other language? How great would that be? It'd be great. And there were people that loved it and just said, that's the one I want, and those other people have it. They're more spiritual than me. And those that had it were like, hey, you know what? I have speaking in tongues, and look at me, you know. And it became this great divisive thing where God had given these gifts to build up each other. The gifts were being used in a selfish way to tear down the body of Christ. And it was an issue. So Paul basically takes them to task here, and he leads up in this text talking about the diversity of spiritual gifts, but how God has given everyone these different gifts for the sake of unity and for the sake of building up and edifying and establishing each other. By the way, he builds all the way up at the end of this to the greatest chapter, the love chapter of chapter 13 of the book. He builds up to that and says, I will show you a better way. I don't care if you have the tongues of men and of angels. If you don't have love, you're nothing. I don't care if you have the gift of prophecy. If you don't love one another, it doesn't matter. You're nothing. And he's basically saying that about himself. He says, if I had all of that and had not love, I would be a mess. It would not count for anything. There's no difference for us today. We can come and claim to have Jesus and sing our songs and say hi to one another, but if we really don't have love, we're not going to amount to a hill of beans here in South Orlando. We're not going to do anything for the kingdom. We have to have the love, the gospel love that comes from God. So look at how he addresses this issue in verse 12 of our chapter. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And so the body is not one part but many. What I want you to see here is the Holy Spirit's role here. We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We have this connection to one another, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, meaning whether you're a Gentile or you're a slave or free. In that society, in his culture, and in this church, you had a very divided church culturally. You had various cultures coming in, and Paul was saying, you're all of one body. You're all together. You're all one family because you've been baptized into it through the Holy Spirit. And so there is this desire that the Holy Spirit bears in us concerning the body of Christ, his church. And if you're filling your notes in, this is where we're going. Number one, you need to sense your union with the church through the Holy Spirit. You need to sense your union with the church through the Holy Spirit. Now, in this day when Paul wrote this, every city had one church. We know when the early church began that if you got upset in one church, you basically had to move to a different city. Today, if you get upset with the church, you've got about 100 churches within a 10-mile radius that you can go and visit on a given Sunday. It wasn't that way in the early church. Every major city had one church, And so Paul was addressing this, just saying, you're all together, you're all there in Corinth, you're all baptized into one body, you're one family, and you're a part of each other. You're there in place there for each other. There is this desire that should be in your heart that when you know Jesus Christ, when you have been saved, you should have this compulsion to get involved in a church. There should be a natural compulsion to find a local church where the Bible is preached, where people are building each other up, and to say, I'm going to join arms with these people. And so I want to bring up the topic of church membership. This is a very hotly debated topic. Every church I've ever served in, every church, I've always run into people that say, you know what, I just don't believe church membership is biblical. I just don't see it anywhere in the Bible. And so I've provided a few notes here to just see some hints at it in the scriptures. Because I do want to agree with you in the sense that the Bible nowhere says you are to become a member of a local congregation. You're not going to find a passage that says that, but you are going to see descriptions of membership in the Bible. So let me show a few of them to you. While church membership is debated by some today, it cannot be denied through the emphasis of some passages, such as 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 13. I'm not going to read the whole text for you, but literally Paul told Timothy, make a list of the widows. See who really needs help and go and help the widows. And so there is evidence in the First Testament, in the New Testament there, of a list being kept for a church. And Paul gave all these requirements in 1 Timothy 5 for how to make that list and what widows should be on the list and what should not be. You have in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 6, you have this great division that broke out among the Greek and the Hellenists, these early Christians. And so the apostles asked the disciples, they said, you disciples, y'all need to select men among you to serve among yourselves. It was the first selection of deacons. And what we see as we read that passage as Baptists is the apostles did not make that decision. There was a group called the disciples, a group of people, not the 12, but there were many in the church at that point that made that decision of who those seven men would be. And so you see the congregation choosing the deacons. There had to be a group. There had to be a known group of people right there in the text. In 1 Corinthians 5, you have Paul writing right here in this very book. And you had something, a sin going on in the Corinthian church that was so scandalous, where a man was having an affair with his own mother-in-law. And people within the Corinthian church, it's right there in 1 Corinthians 5. You can read it. Don't, you know, it's God's word. But there was a scandal going on in the church, and people were just kind of taking it lightly. And Paul told the church, he said, you remove him from among you. Take this man and remove him from among your church. Paul wrote that, by the way, not to the leaders, but to the whole congregation of Corinth. And so here's where I'm going by emphasis. If there's a way to get out and to get knocked out of the Corinthian church, there had to be a way to get into it. There had to be a way to get in. And do you sense, at least in these passages, there is this sense, this feeling of membership? I'm going to tell you today, you can go, 90% of churches in America have active memberships. And I don't know why it's so easy for us, for those that may fight against this, we have no struggle becoming members of Netflix, becoming members of Blockbuster. Some of us are even proudly members of the Burger King Kids Club. But when it comes to joining a local church and linking arm to arm with people that say, I follow Jesus, we're like, no, that's not biblical. I don't want any part of that. I think there's a problem with our hearts if we keep resisting and pushing against that. And can I say on the flip side, that's exactly where Satan wants us. He wants us to get so offended with the local church that we'll never go. Or he wants us where we show up, but man, we're not really going to get involved. We're just going to sit on the pew and sit on the sidelines and let other people do the work. But can I tell you something honestly? God did not save you to sit on the sidelines. God saved you to serve him and to show his love through your local congregation. And this church is a great church if you're looking for a church to join. The music is lively here, and it is focused on Christ. I'm trying my best to just preach what's in the text. I'm trying, okay, pray for your pastor. But this is a great congregation where I look around and I see a fellowship that's vibrant, and I do see love here. Can you find hypocrites here? Absolutely. We're a big room, and they're here. There are people in this room right now. You're here, and you've got your Christian face on. You're speaking your Christianese, but last night, you weren't speaking Christianese. And you can fool me, but you can't fool God. God is not mocked. Whatever you reap, you will sow. But there are real, genuine people here that love Jesus. You can find some hypocrites here. You can also find people here that love Jesus Christ with a passion. And I say, go for them. You know, I've told you before, there are people that say, well, I don't go to church because I just don't want to be where all the hypocrites are. And my response has always been, I'd rather go with some of them than to hell with all of them. Amen? I would. And I usually agree with them. I say, yeah, there are some hypocrites there, but you know what? There are real people there. Do you know Rick? Man, Rick is crazy about Jesus. He's insane about Jesus. Do you know Fred and Judy? Man, they're always there, and they just glow for the Lord. And I could name name after name after name of people I've already met right here that I've known you for a minute, and I'm like, wow, this is someone that loves Jesus Christ. They're here. They're here. And the best thing you need to do is surround yourself with these people and learn from them because they have gifts you need, and you have a gift that they need. You know what? I had a parent say this years ago, and it stuck with me. A parent said this, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Whoever you hang around, whoever you take your influence from, that's what you're going to look like in 5 years, 10 years. And if you're not the Christian you need to be, you need to pray, Lord, give me people in my life that are going to help me in my faith. Place them in my path and help me to hang with them. Because that's who you're going to be in 5 years, 10 years. Who are you hanging with? Who are you running around? And are you buying into that lie of, I don't need to be in my church. I don't need to be involved. I can just show up and just sit in the pew and hide? Man, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, Bill Bright, I know we have a lot of crusade people here. Bill Bright used an illustration years ago about the logs. He said, Christians are like logs in a fire, a campfire. They burn brightest when they're together. You get one of those logs, though, and you separate it away from those other logs, it burns out quick. It goes out so quick. And there's nothing that Satan would love to do than to isolate some of you and to get you away from the church, get you away from other Christians. And guess what your impact for Christ is going to do? It's going to burn out. You're going to be cold for Jesus. You're not going to see much fruit at all. You've got to plug in. And there is this union with the church, the Holy Spirit, that should be a natural compulsion in your heart. Let me give you a few benefits of joining a local church. In joining a church, you make visible your commitment to Christ and his people. If you were to join this church, you would be telling everyone, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm standing, I'm linking arms with these people in this room. It's a great thing. Also, if I can just speak this, you're joining the greatest cultural rebellion in the history of America if you join your local church. Isn't it cool to be the rebel? Amen? There is nothing more rebellious today than being a Bible-believing Christian following Jesus. There's nothing more rebellious. And I'm just saying, I'm inviting you, and come join the rebellion. Be a part of the greatest underground movement, to be a part of the real change in our culture. It's the only thing that changes our nation is what God does through his people. If you're joining a church, you're submitting yourself to a greater accountability. You're showing up and you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, and others are saying, well, all right, what's God teaching you? And they're asking you questions. As you plug into a small group, there's accountability here. And if you are to err the church, it's our responsibility to check in on you, to come after you and say, what's going on here? There's greater opportunity to serve. You cannot lead a Sunday school class here unless you're a member of this church. There are other things you cannot do in this church unless you're a member. It's just a rule. Every church has it. Don't think we're just mean. Every church has them. But if you want to serve, a greater opportunity for service is available to you when you join the church. By the way, when you join a church, you actually have a vote in the business meetings. You have a say for how money is spent. And I'm accountable, by the way, as the pastor, and Rick is too. All the staff are accountable in a Baptist church to every member of this church to help answer and serve. Stephanie Penton got baptized today. She's in children's church right now, one of the newest believers in Jesus. She can show up in the business meeting and call me out in front of the whole business meeting, and I have to give an answer to her because she's a member of our church now. And I'm cool with that. I think that's awesome. Anybody can show up in the business meeting and say, the Lord's been speaking to my heart about doing something. And so I feel like we need to go and do this, and we have to listen and work with that. It's amazing. And let me just share one final thing, and I'll move on. I know I'm spending a lot of time here. You will have a written record of your faith. There's no worse tragedy than someone passing away, and I'm hearing about it, and as I look up in the records, I realize, you know what? They're not a member. I don't have any record of their decision for Christ. I've never really been able to ask them that. I don't know for sure if they're a believer or not. I don't even know. We had a man that passed away in my last church, and they called, and sure enough, he had just gone out for the day and done some work and came home, and as he was in his truck out in front of his house, he had a heart attack. And I get the call that he had passed away. We looked it up, and sure enough, right there in the records, we had a record not only of him coming forward, but I remember counseling him and talking to him, and there was so much evidence of faith as he and I talked. And I was able to preach his funeral and look his family in the eye and say, your dad, who passed away, joined our church, and that's an evidence of God working in his heart. There's evidence in his life of following Jesus. Moms and dads, don't leave the tragedy behind that if you were to pass away, there's any question about where you're spending eternity. Not that membership in a church makes you a believer in Jesus and sets you to heaven, but it does help. It does help when we have to look for the records and say, well, you know, so-and-so on this day became a member and was baptized on this day. It helps. It helps. And there is great value to belonging. As you move through the text, look at verse 14. There are two lies we all follow. In verse 14, it says, so the body is not one part, but many, and the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Paul addresses two concerns people have. There are people that show up in church and say, you know what, I really don't belong here. I don't fit in here. And the Bible says, if this is where God's drawing you, you belong right here. You belong here. You can't say you don't belong, even though you're not the hand or the nose. You're a foot, but the Bible says you belong. In spite of this, it says it still belongs to the body. And so don't believe the lie. I don't belong here. I'm not needed. Everyone else is doing the work. I don't need to come. You are needed here. And as you read through this, you see the balance and the need of everyone. If the whole body were an eye, verse 17, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. If you're here, it's not by accident. You're here because God wants you here. You also have another lie that's in this passage. You have the lie, as you come and get involved in this church, you have people that say, well, that person over there doesn't belong here. And that person over there, I don't like them being here. Look at what Paul says here in verse 21. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. It's a disturbing thing when someone comes into my office and says, you know, I have no need of that person. I think our church would be so much better if they would just leave. I'm so thankful that God has more grace than us. I've heard it, and pastors have said it, oh, you know, the one thing this church needs is a few good funerals. And then it could be, I've heard people preach that, and I'm like, oh, I know one good funeral that might help that church. I'm kidding, all right? That was over the line. I'm becoming the error of my own illustration. God has so much more grace than we do. Never underestimate what a child of God is capable of doing wrong. And trust that God has a longer fuse than you and I have. Everyone's needed. There should not be a case where we look around and say, that person doesn't belong here. There are some cases, though, actually, where we do have to remove people sometimes. It's rare. Discipline. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 5. If someone is sinning grossly, something even the Gentiles look at and say, oh, that's disgusting, they need to go. You have other examples in the Bible where occasionally discipline needs to happen. If I'm to teach something heretical, I'm to go. I am to be removed. If I start preaching heresy, I hope that you will follow God's word and remove me. But everyone belongs in God's sovereignty unless discipline must happen. Point number two is see that everyone belongs. See that everyone belongs. The third and final point is this. As you work through, you see in verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ and an individual members of it. And God has placed these in the church. And he goes through this list of gifts. He says, first, there are apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, next, miracles. You have all these different gifts that God has given each of us. And he just says, you need to show up and you're a part and be a part of what's going on there. This is the gift I've given you. By the way, there are many that I've counseled over the years that have come out of maybe a charismatic Pentecostal background, and they just say, well, how come everyone here doesn't speak in tongues? And my answer is usually out of this text, I say, well, the Bible says that not everyone is to speak in tongues. Look here at verse 30. The natural following of this reading of verse 29 and 30, he says that he's given this great diversity. Look at verse 29. Are all apostles? The natural reading is no. No, not all are. Some are, but not all. Are all prophets? No, but some are. Are all teachers? No. Do all do miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in other languages? Do all speak in tongues? No. And how anyone could ever think that if you're going to be a real Christian, you got to speak in tongues. That's unbiblical. That's not anywhere in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this verse says not all do that. And so don't let anyone hold that over your head and say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a true Christian. That's something that's not biblical. It's outside of Bible. It's against of Scripture right here. Do all interpret? No, but some do. And so what is your gift? What gift do you have? You know, today is May the 4th, and we have a few nerds in the house here that are very excited because this is a big Star Wars national holiday. How many of you are big Star Wars fans? May the 4th be with you. About five of you, okay. My family gets a little excited about this, maybe more than yours does. But you know the story of Star Wars, where young Luke Skywalker, if you've seen the film, there he was on Tatooine. He was a moisture farmer. Some of you are keeping up with me as I'm explaining this. He had a very boring existence until this activity happened where he met some droids and they said, you need to get to Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he gets over there and Obi-Wan pulls out a lightsaber. And let me show you, I have Obi-Wan's lightsaber today. Here it is. Here we go. And yes, it works. This thing's awesome. All right. And Luke began to realize he was a part of a bigger plan, a plan to battle evil. And he had a force to play. There was, speaking of force, there was the force. Obi-Wan taught him about the force and said, Luke, you need to use the force. And as you use that, fight evil. Listen, I'm sharing that because you have something just as special that's been given to you that's better. You have a gift that's been handed to you through the Holy Spirit. And are you using it to fight the forces of evil with your local church? Are you using it to build others up? Do you even know what it is? I'll close because I know I'm going over time a bit, but here's where I'll close. My mom, if you get to know her at all, she is a great gift giver. She loves to give gifts, loves it. And there could be no greater pain, because that's how my mom shows love, than for her to give someone a gift and then realize later on that they never opened it. They never opened it. That just crushes my mom if she ever realized that. Whenever she mails a gift for my kids, she just calls and says, all right, did you have them open it yet? She just wants to hear how they liked it and how they responded. She's a great gift giver. How worse do you think our Creator, who has saved us and who has given us gifts, feels when we don't even know what that is? We've never opened it. We're not using that gift in the local congregation. I don't say that to guilt us. I say that to encourage you to say, get involved. And as you get involved, as you hang around, I'm going to be helping equip you how to discover your spiritual gift and use it to build up the local congregation. Matter of fact, I have a blog that my mom is the only one who knows about it. Yeah, y'all are awake. And anyways, if you go on there, there's some instructions on where you can take a spiritual gifts test and discern what your spiritual gift is. And it's a way that can help you today if you want to leave and apply what you've heard today in God's Word. I want to encourage you to use your gift to plug into the local body and to say, I'm here, I'm going to invest, I'm going to give a part of what God's gifted me to do. And I want to close just by saying, we need you. Desperately, we need you. We've got a great vision that God's giving me for this church over the next 5 years. It's unbelievable the sleep I'm losing over just what work this church needs. We have over $600,000 in debt right now that we're going to have to work through to pay off that building and to get things in order here to be able to mobilize and work well and efficiently as a church. And so we need everybody. We need all hands on deck here to help and to be a part. And let me just say again, you need us. You need us. There are people in this room that have gifts that you need. Let's plug in. Let's build each other up. I'm about to pray, and let me just share. I want to apologize a bit. I was a little out of character last Sunday when I chewed out those that stood up and left during the invitation. That was way out of character for me. I know that God was speaking to the room, and that during the week I've heard from four in this room that have said, God is wrestling with your heart about being a missionary. So praise God, he's working. But let me just say that as I close in prayer, that is a very appropriate time if you need to get up and leave for work or whatever it may be. As I close in prayer, this is a very fitting time if you have to go to do so. Let me pray for us that we'll have our invitation. Father, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your church, and pray, Father, you would help us to be able to link arms with one another and to share the gifts you've given us. Father, may we fight against the devil and his forces together. You didn't call us to live the Christian life alone. You called us to commit to each other, and we're needed in the local congregation. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of people today that need to join this church, that, Father, today would be the day they would join. There are others that need to do what Stephanie did. They've followed Christ, but they need to get baptized. And Father, I know there are even others today that need Jesus. May you call them to repentance, and may they turn from their sins and trust Jesus. Lord, we yield who we are to you. We thank you for saving us, and you didn't save us to sit on the sidelines. You saved us, Father, to serve and to build up the church. May we all be equipped well for that ministry, and I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.